Keep up, my dad. I have a stiff butt. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. There was a man here yesterday. His name was Elder Randall Cagle.
Oh, yeah.
I had the opportunity to travel with Elder Cagle, Elder Held Stumbaugh, Elder Carl Staten, to Oklahoma City. We spent the night with Elder Bill McCarthy. And if I'm repeating a story that some of you have heard, forgive me. The brethren told Elder Cagle, you're to preach first thing in the morning. We went into Brother Bill's house, and he has a lovely home. And he makes the most to make you most comfortable. But he's very, very much wants to make everybody feel at home and have a place to stay. And his house was divided into several bedrooms, the living room here and the dining room here and the kitchen here, and everything was a bedroom. Brother Randall was sleeping in the front room bedroom. Brother Randall got up in the morning and he said, Brother McCarthy, you don't know, but I'm a firefighter. I'm 24 on and 24 off. And he said, when I sleep, it's got to be dark. And outside your window was this big lamp. About 2 foot in diameter, it was the outside light, you know, showing the way into the house. And he said, that was on. And he said, I laid down and I thought, good gravy. And he said, and then beside me, I heard this murmuring and talking and talking. And I thought, good gravy, it's got to be quiet. I need quiet too. And I heard the talking, and it was going, and it was going, and I was so frustrated with it. And then he said, amen. And that's the last I heard. There was a little boy sleeping beside me that was praying for me the next morning. And he just prayed for me. Would you please pray for me? I want you to think of a time when Jesus Christ was with his disciples. You know, some people tell us if you don't believe, you're not going to be in heaven. How many times did we read that the apostles didn't believe? You know, the apostles were sitting on a ship and they were worried and they were rowing and they were, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And they went down and they woke up this man in the bow of the boat. And I guess this man's name, and I don't guess it was, but it was Jesus Christ. And he said, don't you care that we perish? And in my own words, he says, good gravy. Peace be still. And the storm was quiet. And it was all sitting there. What if? And then they came down a few hours before his death. And he said, you know, there's a time coming when you're going to be sad and they're going to be happy. But then, in a little while, you're going to be happy and they're going to be sad. The brother was talking about the rocks crying out. I remember a time when the rocks were rent and they were split in two. I heard a preacher say one time that you can see any rock you pick up, you'll see a crack in it. And I thought, yeah, right. And I started trying to find something that wasn't there, and I picked up a few rocks. And they were kind of smooth rocks, and they were kind of polished. And you know, as I studied those rocks, I saw little cracks in them. And you know, I decided it's not worth the time to try to prove the Bible wrong. The rocks rent. Amen. Jesus Christ came out of the grave. Wow. You see, the ones that were made happy were now made sad. And the ones that didn't believe, they had something to teach. They had something to go back and talk about. Now then, I would like to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about that time. You remember what happened? Jesus Christ came up and there was two men walking down here. And they were sad. And they were, you know, kind of moping. You ever had that feeling when you just are moping, just walking along and just don't, you know, everything's against you and nothing's there. And these two men were moping and they were walking along. And Jesus Christ came up to them and said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Are you a stranger here? Don't you know what happened?" No, there wasn't Facebook there. There wasn't the internet. And I agree with all that's been said about the internet. It can be very devastating and very damaging. But on the other hand, it can be very encouraging and very helpful. We've asked you to pray for us. You've asked us to pray for you. Do you know what the internet's done? I know of a family one time that had a little girl with a tumor. And they started praying. There was 4,500 hits on a website called Caring Bridge that responded to that little girl's needs. That little girl happened to be my granddaughter. But, you know, how many, and I don't do the internet. I don't read fast enough. I can't remember it. I don't, I handed my GPS to Jeremy this morning because I can't get the thing to work. And I said, "How do you make this work? I got to go home." Yeah, I can get home, but how many people do we learn, "Your friend is my friend is my friend is my friend," and we hear about this and we pray for people we don't know? Jesus Christ came down to these two brethren and they were walking and he said, "You seem sad here," and they said, "Are you a stranger here in town? Don't you listen to the news? Don't you know what's going on?" And he started walking with them. The sincere milk of the word that we heard about this morning, what do you think started happening here? These two brethren were walking down here to Emmaus and Jesus Christ had joined them and they started talking there. And he said, "Aren't you a stranger here?" And he began talking to them. Wouldn't you have liked to have heard that message? Wouldn't you have liked to have heard what he said to them? He began at Moses or at the beginning. I'm trying to tell you a story. Don't throw stones at me if I don't just say it quite the way you want me to. But get the point that I'm trying to say. But he was walking with them and he started teaching them and he started preaching to them. I wonder if he started telling them this story. You know, there was a man one time that desired a son, desired a little boy. And it seemed like everything was going around and finally this little boy was born to him. And the little boy's name was Joseph. And his father said, "Ah, I got what I was looking for." And he made Joseph a coat of many colors. But Joseph had a dream. Remember that dream? What did he see? He saw seven fat years and seven lean years. Or excuse me, he saw stalks of corn. Got ahead of myself. Help me out if I get wrong, but don't throw stones at me if I don't say. Anyway. But he went and he told his brother, and they said, now, some of these boys were quite a bit older than he was, weren't they? It, you know, competition in families is fierce sometimes. And especially if families are, you talk about families that were disrupted. Some of the families in the scriptures were very, very strange and very much bitter. In fact, you know, Sarah said, you go down to my handmaiden and you can have a child by her. And as soon as Hagar was expected, especially after the son was born, she wanted her out of sight. Get her out of here. What did Abraham do? Abraham said, oh, all right. I don't think so. Abraham loved that boy. He loved him so much, he went out here and he prayed about it. He said, you know, what am I going to do about this? And the Lord said, listen to Sarah and send her. I'll make him a strong man. I'll make him a great man. But you've got something back there. And then you remember what happened? He said, you take thy son, thine only son. Oh. But he had two. But the Lord only looked at one. Anyway, let's go back to the story. Jesus Christ joined with the men walking to Emmaus. 37th chapter of Genesis. Joseph was now about 17 years old. He was grown up. Remember, when I spoke to us the other evening, I tried to make a point. In the volume of the book, it is written to me to do thy will, O God. Everything that is written in here is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we put Jesus Christ in it. And I want you to know when you go to Psalms 119, as I studied through that and I was reading that one time and studying with my congregation, and I said, we need to do this and we need to do this and we need to do this. And I was looking at that series of verses. The next week I was looking at that again and I said, wait a minute. Look at here. And I didn't even say that to them. And I said, they're looking for Jesus Christ to help them. And I went back and the next week I talked all over. I didn't change my mind, but I just went another route with it. And I showed it's about Christ. It's always about Christ. And so when Christ was talking to the ones going to Emmaus here, he may have came back to this point. And Joseph was about 17 years old. And his father said unto him, go out and see about thy brethren. We're going to look at some S's concerning Joseph. Seeing, sent, sought, saved. Just think about the S's in Joseph and Jesus Christ. But Joseph was like Christ. Christ was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Joseph was the son that was looked for, was the one that was desired. And he kind of had a life of ease. You know, I don't know what all Joseph did. You want to be careful in reading books, but there's a book called The Birth Order. And you know, I find it's amazing how accurate that book is sometimes. We've had several kids in our house. Brother Harder told us yesterday he had 24 children. And I realized that those weren't all born to him. Many of them were adopted. We have six. Half of them born to us, half of them not. But each one of these children have a place. And my birth children say about my youngest child, they said, we'd have never got by with that. Yeah. Yeah. We'd have never got by with that. I made a lot of mistakes in raising my children. I was too self-righteous. They were going to be the number one quiet any place we went. But they were kids. Now we have a son with a condition that makes his brain not work. And we were in Orlando, Florida. And he looked at me and he said, "Dad, my brain's not taking this. My brain's confused. The noise and the conversation and the activity around him had shut his brain down." My friends, the next time you're in a store and you see a child going overboard, remember, mom and dad are in charge. But be not quite as quick to judge how wrong that child is, because that child may have autism. That child may have fetal alcohol. That child may have Asperger's disease. That child may have something that's causing his brain to shut down and can't think. You know, when I was 19 and spoke the first time on raising families, the mother of a dear friend of mine, I won't say any names, but he is present in the congregation. I don't know. I wouldn't say Victor, but Sister Edith came up to me and said, "John, someday you'll understand." I tried to be the Pharisee of raising my children. And today, I don't know how to raise children. I don't know what to do. You love them. You care for them. You pray for them. You teach them. And you teach them. And you make mistakes. And you learn from those mistakes. Joseph was 17 years old, and his father said, "Go out and see what your brethren are doing." Joseph was sent to see how his brethren were doing. God sent his son into the world to see how we were doing. Joseph went out into the field to see how his brethren were doing. And you know, when I first read that story, and if you've read it without thinking about it, and that's fine. Oftentimes we read the scriptures. I'm going to read through the Bible this week or this year, and we read our assigned lesson, and we read it, and we read it, and we read it, and we read it. Okay, I've done what I... Time to go to bed, and we get up early in the morning. I got to be to work, and we read it, and we read it, and we're on our way. But then sometimes we stop and we read it and we really think about what it's saying. Joseph went out to see about his brethren. So he went out there and here you are. When Elaine was sent out to bring me something to the field, when she was about 17 years old and I was about 18 and a half or 19, she knew what field to bring me my lunch or my water or my whatever it was. And Dad said, "Go out to that area," and that's where he is. Well, that's what happened with Joseph. No, not so. Joseph went out, and he was walking around there, and a guy looked at him and said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, I'm seeking my brother." And he said, "I heard they went down to Dothan." Joseph sought his brethren out. He was looking for him. Jesus came down, and he was seeking us. What do you mean seeking us? He knew where we were at. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But Jesus was teaching his brethren. He was pleading with them. And you know, Jesus wept. My friends, in about an hour, I'm going to be on my way north of here. So if you don't agree with what I'm saying, you don't ever have to ask me to preach again. But when Jesus wept there with Lazarus, He wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. He was crying because they didn't understand him. He was crying because they didn't believe him. His passion for teaching them, he was just crying because they weren't understanding. Have you ever cried over your children? Have you ever wondered where your children were at? That's a hard thing to do. Where are those guys? You know, 25 years ago, we didn't have cell phones. And my daughter wasn't home. She had taken my car and she had went back to the town she grew up in, which was 110 miles away. And she was coming back and she wasn't home. And we was arguing over some gas prices. And the trucks weren't letting some things buy them. And she wasn't home. When she got home, we found out what had happened. She was trapped on a bridge. There's a river, small river that goes through our area. And the bridge is about 300 yards long, or 400 yards. And the trucks decided to block that bridge. We were worried. We were concerned. Jesus Christ loved his brethren. And he wanted them to understand. You say, what do you mean Jesus Christ wanted them to understand? You know, with God, all things are possible, and he'll have his way among the inhabitants of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? But when Christ was preaching to his brethren, there was a part there, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong. I hope I'm not confusing the things, but Jesus Christ's love for his people. And what did he do? He turned to the Gentiles later on, but that's another story. But Joseph was sent down to see how his brethren were doing, and he sought them, and they were over in Dothan, and he went and he looked for them. And what happened when he found them? They saw him coming afar off. When they saw him coming afar off, what'd they say? Here's that dreamer. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what's going to happen. And as he came into his brother, they said, let's kill him. But one of them said, no, I believe his name was Reuben. And Reuben said, shed no blood. But let's cast him into the pit. And then they went back to work. And as they went back to work, what happened? There were some Egyptians coming. And they said, let's sell him. Was not Jesus Christ kissed? For 30 pieces of silver, he was sold. Jesus Christ was sent into the world. He sought his people. And he was sold. Joseph went down to Potiphar's house. You all know the story. You know the story better than I do, probably. But he went down to Potiphar's house and he was thrown in jail. Jesus Christ came down. He was persecuted. And he was thrown in jail. Time passes on. The brethren come to Jesus Christ, come to Joseph. They come and they see him. He sees them coming. What did Joseph do? Joseph saw his brethren coming. I have no idea what kind of room that was. But right now I wish this room was turned around this way. And I would walk out that door and I would walk back here and I would weep. And then I would come back in. And Joseph made himself, and he talked rough. He said, what do you want? You see, they were hungry up there too. And they said, we need food. And he gave them the food. And he sent them away. And you know what happened a day later? When they got a day's journey out, what happened to those brethren? They started feeding their animals, and what was there? The money. Was that grace? Was that mercy? Did that man that was talking harsh to them, did he have mercy on them? Did Jesus Christ have mercy on us? Has he not had compassion on us? Has he not loved us with an everlasting love? Do you think maybe he was talking to this to the men going to Emmaus? I don't know what he was talking to them. But you know, that wasn't a 5-minute walk. That wasn't even a 30-minute walk. I'm going to try to be done here in 30 minutes or maybe 45. Or maybe, if my wife were here, she'd be going like this. You know what I mean? But he was talking to them, and they went, and he was preaching to them. Jesus Christ was sent, he sought. Joseph was sent, and he sought. Joseph had compassion on his brethren. He said unto them, go. And they went. And they came back. And a little bit later, what did he do? They sat down at the table. The plates, from the youngest to the oldest. Well, how did they know about Benjamin in the first place? But youngest to oldest. And now he comes to him and he says, I'm your brother. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. When the Jews crucified Jesus, they meant it for evil. But what happened? God meant it for good. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and he was in the tomb for 3 days and for 3 nights, what happened? Well, you remember what happened a few hours before that, going to the cross? Before going to the tomb, he was hanging on the cross there, and he looked out there, and you remember what he said? You remember what he said? He said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. The work was done. They came down, and they laid him in the tomb, and the tomb was secured. Nobody could get into it. But nobody can stop God. And he came out of the tomb. And he saved many people alive. Joseph saved many people alive. I thank you for your attention.